And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshaies, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Some As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
Hold on. searching back for yesterday. I won't turn my head in sorrow if you should go away. I'll stand here and remember just how good it's been. And I know I'll never love this way again.
My heart is filled with joy that can't be described. Your presence has driven my passion to a place I am unable to return. Now my life is filled with the happiness of our days to come. I now seek to recreate the love you have given me so that you will know the unlimited source of joy you have provided in my spirit. My days and nights will be spent trying to insert the same love into your heart. No longer will my days be used to capture that which I already have in you. My life now is focused on showing my gratitude to those who helped to create your wonderful spirit for me. I am the true recipient of the magic within you. The harmony that exists in us will be an example for others to emulate. The enchantment that is in us will be displayed in every step we take. Our journey will be one of pure and perfect love. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. My show is on from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. It is time for your voice to be heard loud and clear. So please call in at 657-383-0309. It is time to be part of a movement that is using the technology we have to let our voices be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. On my show, your voice will be heard, respected, and appreciated. It is time for us now to take control. Please visit my website, jamestdeshay.com. That is jamestdeshay.com. I look forward to you calling into my show at 657-383-0309. 0309 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Take care. I am a man, given the power to overcome the unexpected, asked to remain unbowed as the winds of change swirl around me. I am a man that knows my place and is fearless as I walk the streets of the world. It is my birthright to control all aspects of my existence while being humble. I am a man searching the roads for the moment that will empower me to uncover my purpose and allow me to rule over my kingdom. I am a man which has been given the characteristics of my Father, ordering me to protect the one who makes me whole and gives me images of myself. I am a man who will display love in a fashion created within my internal spirit, fixated on sharing my love beyond the bounds of my family. I will make sure that my legacy lives within all who cross my path, instilling God's love and motivation. I am a man.
There's no collusion. And everybody, even my enemies, have said there is no collusion.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, I'm happy and pleased to be here, given the opportunity to talk about with you about the things that are going on around in our world and what kind of steps we can take to solve the problems that exist. And today is no different. I have to tell you that I'm a little depressed and upset about the fact that in Oklahoma, a female white police officer was found not guilty in the case of manslaughter against an unarmed black man. I was hoping that we would get a few of these cases to be found guilty in order to get some momentum going related to making the police officer be a little more on guard with the decisions that they make related to using their firearm against unarmed individuals. The problem is when you have too many officers found not guilty, it sends the kind of message that is not sharing that the value of African Americans are important. And we have to constantly be on guard related to making sure that we say that our lives do matter and we're not going to accept our lives being taken in such disregard. You know, it's important people understand, you know, I am a math major, and one of the things I try to do is I try to think very logically when it comes to the way I see situations. And one of the ways that I see situations related to unarmed black men being shot and killed across our United States is there are plenty of African-American officers across the country. And if the job was so difficult, and that was one of the reasons why these men continue to get shot, then I would think that there would be cases where African-American officers were gunning down unarmed white men. But I have to tell you, I have yet to hear a story about a black police officer mistakenly shooting and taking the life of any child, of any teenager, and of any adult. And I would, you know, with all the Googling we have and all that kind of stuff, I really believe that we should be able to find somewhere where a black officer overstepped his bounds and used deadly force inappropriately. And so if our black officers can go out there day to day and not gun down unarmed white men, why can't we look for the same kind of professionalism from white officers? And if I'm wrong, I truly want somebody to send me a story where a black officer made a mistake and did not get terminated or did not get prosecuted. I would truly like to see that. And I'm just going on record and saying I don't know of any story. I have not read of any story where a black officer accidentally shot an unarmed white person, woman, child, or adult. And I just want somebody to prove me wrong. Dee, what are your thoughts out there? I mean, have you ever heard or seen a story where a black officer pulled out his gun and killed an unarmed white child or adult?
No, James, I have not. And make sure I'm off mute here. No, I have not. And that was a question that I wanted to ask some weeks ago pertaining to the subject, but it kind of slipped my mind. And the question would have been, what are other black police officers saying about these shootings among their own brethren? I know the locker room at some of these police stations contain black officers. I wonder what the atmosphere is like. I mean, we're going in on this thing, going in about 5 years strong with this type of attitude. And I have yet to hear any black majors in any departments across this country. I'm yet to hear any female captains or anybody say anything in protest or even raising the question about the lack of training in certain areas of this nation where this continue to be the norm. So I know that there is a fraternity of black police officers somewhere, but they seem to be mighty quiet going on 6 years of this type of behavior. And that's very troubling to me why everybody is so silent.
Joyce, you know, it's just strange to me that we can expect black officers or officers of color to maintain their professionalism and to maintain control, but yet white officers seem to be unable to do the same. And again, I'm asking, why have we never heard of a black officer mistakenly shooting and killing a white child or a white adult, unarmed white adult, when we continue to hear these white officers getting away with murder of black unarmed individuals?
Well, I think because the black officers are more humane, whereas they would think twice before they really deal with their conscience before they would really, and they would not actually fire that gun unless they really absolutely have to. Whereas, and I think in the other situation where they're white officers, they're not thinking twice. They're already afraid, they say, of blacks. So therefore, they feel in their mind they're not taking no chance. Let me get you before you get me, type of attitude. So it's all about training. It's all about respect for human life and how you look at a minority person. All of that comes into play to me. And I think it's got to be better about being trained, and it's a protocol that should take place in order for them to fire their weapon. They need to think twice and really have some type of protocol instead of just going just crazy and just shooting and then explain, I'll tell a lie later.
And the thought was that this young lady had at least 2 to 3 additional officers who did not fire their weapons. She fired her weapon a number of times, and it just seems to be inconceivable that under those situations she had help. She was not by herself, and she took it upon herself to shoot a man who she didn't know at the time had any PCP in his system. He did not show a weapon, and he was just going back to his truck. And so it seems like to me that every time we turn around, they're given a pass. They're given a pass when they shoot our children. They're given a pass when they kill black men. And again, I have yet to see a situation. If our black officers or men of color are able to control themselves, why can't we ask the same thing of white officers? Kathy, you live in a huge state. Have you ever heard of a black officer discharging his gun and killing an unarmed white person? And, I mean, I've never heard of it. I've never heard of a criminal case against a black officer. I'm just wondering what's going on that black officers seem to be able to make their decisions better?
No, James, I have not heard of that. And good afternoon, everybody. And again, I'm going to go back to it's demonic. It's another way that the enemy is pulling the different cultures, into like a race war. Because when this happens, then people begin to say that it's that racially profile. But if you look at the whole thing, it's for that whole five, whatever it was, 6 years, it was happening back to back to back to back. That's a demonic spirit that is coming in and bringing the people against the police officers. Okay, so we, as a people, we have to continue to pray. We have to vote. We have to go to these town hall council meetings. And we have to let the people know that we're not going to stand for this to continue to happen. But if no one gets up and go vote, then we're going to continue to have this to happen. People are going to continue to be killed in the street. It's not training. Well, I don't think it's training because it's just them being trigger happy, and it's the enemy using them to start these rival wars.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem reasonable to me. Again, I'm a math major, and if everything was the same, then there should be a number of African-American police officers making similar mistakes. You know, they're both doing the same job. They're both at the same risk. Why is it that we are not hearing the stories of white black officers shooting white children? Why are we not hearing the officers making the kind of mistakes that would lead to the death of another individual? We're not choking anybody to death. We're not shooting anyone. And yet we keep seeing these same stories coming out over and over and over again. We're beyond our first 30 minutes, and let's take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Hell, I went wrong, the pain.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As I read over the story, it said where the officer was told that the other officers had out their tasers, and it was three officers. So if you have three officers, Joyce, don't you have a doesn't that give you a lot more time to think and think out your response and your actions and allow your fellow officers to use their tasers before you use deadly force?
Exactly. That's what I mean. They have other avenues that can be used. Also, too, it kind of makes you wonder, where's the brotherhood of the police department, whereas they should be able to make a stand as well, saying, look, you know, this is happening to our brothers and sisters, and it's uncalled for. So I think there come a time, too, where they're going to have to reunite as one brotherhood and make a stand. And this should be nationwide because, you know, it's happening in every state. So it should be a wake-up call. They are minority policemen for a reason. And I feel that you're obligated to protect your neighborhoods and your environment. So I think they need to kind of step up to the plate also.
Yeah, it is so depressing when these officers get off scot-free. I haven't heard anything about her losing her job. I'm not sure if she kept her job or not. But at a minimum, she should lose her job. But it just seems like they are bent on, I don't know the racial makeup of the jury. I would like to know what the racial makeup of the jury was. But it just seems like to me that this continues to happen over and over and over again. And until more officers are convicted, we're going to have officers out there who are just going to take their chances with gunning down young unarmed and adult African-American males in haste. And I'm not trying to say that I believe they wake up in the morning and say they want to kill someone. I just don't think they're using proper judgment. And if you are not able to take your time and figure out what you should do and you're killing people in haste, then being a police officer may not be the job for you. Don't you think, Captain, if you can't take your time and reasonably figure out what's going on before you discharge your weapon and you're too afraid to wait because you're scared you might be killed, then maybe being a police officer is not the job for you?
Yeah, you're right about that. I know my son is going through a process for the sheriff's department right now, and the things that they ask them, I mean, I believe it's a new process because he had over 28 pages that he had to fill out. This is for the background part of it. And some of the stuff that they ask them to write about in different situations is like it's far-fetched and beyond. But I'm assuming that's a new process so that they can weed out those who won't be able to stand under pressure, who will not be quick to pull the trigger in any, you know, type of situation. But I'm thinking about an incident that happened 2 days ago. It was not a drive-by, but it was a high-speed chase. And at the end of the chase, there were three people in the car. The two guys got out, and one of the guys started shooting at the officer. So, you know, these type of situations, they vary and they differ. So for this particular person to get out and do what he did, you know, in that sense, then, hey, you have to protect yourself. Not saying that happened with that young lady, but I'm saying that every situation is different. I remember that incident because it was on Facebook, and they showed how the guy was going back to his car. I don't know what the lady was saying, and then she shot him. Now, I'm just saying to say how the process of going into to be a police officer now is very different. There's more paperwork, and I'm sure they're going to be doing evaluations. But, yeah, you're right. But you know what I think about, James, when I think about those people that are shooting? How are they feeling when they go home? I'm sure they're not getting any rest. I'm sure they're being taunted, haunted, and everything else because they're replaying those situations in their head, you know. So they're probably drinking themselves to death or whatever they're doing, you know. So they're not being let off easy, even though the situation seems that way. But I don't believe they have any peace after they do something like that. That these people are going somewhere and are breaking down or whatever else, but I truly do not believe that they have peace after they do those things.
And you would like to think that was true. I want to share a personal story with you guys about my life related to what I think there's a parallel in the way I think people should think if they can't not handle the job. When I graduated out of college, I'm not sure if it was a recession or what was going on, but there were not a lot of job opportunities. And so they were advertising for a correction officers. And so I went down and made application and took the test and took the physical and did everything. And I passed the test, and all I had left to do was the physical. And what happened was my blood pressure was too high. But I want to share a conversation prior to me getting through all the things that I needed to get through. The guy asked me, "Okay, you got your degree. You know, why do you want to be a correction officer? Why don't you try to be a police officer or a sheriff?" And I told him I didn't want to have a gun. I said, I just don't feel comfortable with a gun. I said, I don't feel like I can walk behind a dark building and take my time and recognize and evaluate the situation because I'm going to be shooting everything that moves. You know, it might be a dog, a cat, or a homeless person. When I hear noise, I'm going to start shooting. Well, that was just how I felt personally. I just didn't feel like I wanted the responsibility of carrying a weapon. And I think we need to question these guys' ability to evaluate situations before they start shooting their weapons. You know, I thought it used to be, you know, and this may not be true, but I thought they used to have those things that turn around real quick and you had to decide if it was a woman with a bag or a man with a shotgun. I mean, don't they use those kind of things to see whether these men are quick to evaluate the situation or not?
Well, you would think that used to be the standard of the training. Any episode of any cop show, that was always the idea that Hollywood gave us. But, you know, I want to say something about the aggressiveness of the personalities of these police officers. You know, a lot of times these police officers, they were football players in school, and we had that conversation about the aggression of football players. And sometimes when a lot of times these shootings and stuff may happen in rural areas where there are not a lot of black people in the community, and they don't have a lot of contact with black people. In that, their first impression of what on how black people are passed on to them by their sometimes the pastor, the parents, and the granddads and stuff like that. And then mixed with the fact that a lot of these guys are football players or athletes and wrestlers and stuff like that, they have an aggressive nature. I'm with you when you say that the evaluation should be a little bit more intense. And why is not that way? It's beyond me, and it's almost gotten to where it's quite sickening These instances are happening week after week after week. And I remember the situation with the lady cop. You know, we spent a month on explaining how we should act and what we should do when we are stopped. Not to kick a dead horse, or not to keep bringing that up, but the victim, we're going to call him the victim now. He was the guy that failed to comply. Again, he failed to comply. He walked back to his vehicle and ignored numerous commands not to do so and to stop. And if you go back and watch that video again, he had one hand on the top of the vehicle, and the other hand, he was trying to get in the car. She explained that she had never been so scared in her life. But, you know, it's a sad situation, and that's all I got to say about that.
And, T, I understand, I hear what you say, but there were at least two or three other officers with her, and they had out their tasers. So why couldn't she let them deploy their tasers before she used deadly force? I mean, there's supposed to be a ladder, so to speak, of force. You know, you got your nightstick, you got your mace, you got your taser, and then you got your gun. And you're supposed to go up that ladder. And not saying you can't jump, but why jump so far when you got other people with you? And so that's my thing is that we need to require that these people evaluate. I don't know if you remember the shooting that took place in Chicago. The boy was just walking up the highway, and it was 10 or 15 police officers. And this man shot this dude down in cold blood when there was nothing he could reach for that would have threatened that guy's life. And so sometimes they use this language that gets them off because that's the language they've been taught and trained to use so that they can win these jury trials. And the man who lost the jury trial in South Carolina for shooting the guy in the back, clearly he could not use that same way of describing it because the man was running away. And that was the only reason. Had not he had that videotape, he would not have accepted that plea deal. And you and I both know that.
James,
okay, go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. You know, After the actual trial, just like in the O.J. Simpson case, after the trial, do you think that the Civil Liberties Union and whomever else is filing a civil complaint to try to hold these officers accountable? In a civil case?
As a taxpayer, all of these people are being paid off. Believe me, all of those families, including the 9-year-old and all of these families, the young man who was choked in New York, all of these families are being paid off. And as a taxpayer, we ought to be upset about that we're losing millions and millions of dollars to pay for these bad police officers. And that's money going to waste that was supposed to go to bettering our community. So, Joyce, you know, what? Even as taxpayers, we should be upset about our money going to these families, paying millions of dollars to these families for the death of their loved ones.
Well, that's true. And the main thing, you cannot put a price on a life. What I would like to see done is that when I was flying as a stewardess, each year we had to have what they call a reoccurrence. Testing, whereas we had to know, and particularly if I wasn't used to flying a 747 aircraft, but we had to know every aircraft. They would call us back in. We had to do what they call a retraining. type every year, every cabin attendant. And that is done now with every airline. I would like to see the policemen come back in for reevaluation, psychological reevaluation, the mindset. You see, once you graduate, you out on the field, then what? So when do you come back in to get vitalized, everything? You know, being a good stewardess, we was there for emergency. That's supposed to be our role, for emergency. So therefore, we had to know where those oxygen bottles are, where those first aid kits are. So for policemen that are out there in the street and you carrying a weapon, on a yearly basis, I think you need to come in and speak with a psychologist, and that would be their job to evaluate to determine whether or not you got those capabilities and whether or not you have that type of composure to be able to maintain yourself out there in hypothetical high-risk situations. So I would like to see that if it might be already happening, but if so, then it's not being implemented.
And, Cassie, let me just ask you, you have two sons. There is no way a cash settlement would fix your heart with the loss of either of your sons. And so even though you get these people are getting these cash settlements, it won't do anything to fix that hole in their heart, will it?
No, it will not, because nothing can replace a life, you know. That's something that's attached to you. So no money or apology or anything like that could replace that piece that is no longer in your life. So, no.
You know, a lot of times people go around talking about closure, but there is no closure whatsoever. I know that for myself, every time I think about my parents, I'd love for them to be here, and that, you know, it is a painful thing, as you always often reminded. So a lot of these people who find themselves just like the 15-year-old that was gone down recently by a police officer with a rifle, no amount of money, or even if that police officer is convicted, is going to make their heart any less heavy, because they are just grieving over the loss of a son that they won't see graduate from high school, they won't see graduate from college, they won't get grandchildren. There's so many things that are lost when young lives are taken in this fashion. Right, Joyce?
Absolutely. You're correct on that. It's really something. So we have no answers for that, but those are some things that needs to be looked at. And with the new law enforcement of who you have at the helm of how they dictate as to what needs to be done and whether or not you can walk down the street and shoot somebody and never get locked up, you know, it needs to be stricter laws when, you know, when people are not doing that job correctly. And when someone act the way that this lady did, this policeman, to me, you did not do your job correctly, because you killed someone. You did not save that life, and you did not protect that life. So they have to know every day when they go out, what is your job? What is your goal? Your goal is to protect and not to really be to kill, you know. And like Kathy said, whomever, you wonder what a person think when they go home. You got to deal with that. So do you have enough conscience? How would you address that? Are you boasting what you did that day, you see? So that's why I think that a yearly training, a six-month training needs to be rotated back in to bring them off the street to really test and find out where their heads are. Because if you graduated 15 and 20 years ago, quite naturally you're not going to look at your job, and you're not going to have the mindset of protecting the community of the people the way that you did when you graduated.
And you're so right, Joyce, because I can be honest with you that when I got to my 30 years, I was so happy that now I felt like I was in control and that I could leave anytime I wanted to, because I knew my attitude was not the same as it was when I first started my job, and that I felt overwhelmed and unappreciated. So I know that police officers probably go through some of that same thing as they grow older in their careers, related to all the things that they've seen happen and done. But they have to realize that they make decisions that are life decisions, and that they can't afford to not be in the right frame of mind when they're on their job. And I would like to think that when they go in, that they are, before they go out onto the street, they're having a conversation with their supervisor, asking them or requiring them to make sure they remain professional so that there is no accidental loss of life. As you all remember, I'm not sure what the how it played out, but there was a black man laying on the ground with his hands up and an artistic boy that he was trying to get to return back to his the place that he lived, and the man shot him and he was on the ground with his hands up. And so that, you know, it just seems that no where you go, no where what you do, that these police officers are having an inability to control their actions. And so we know you can grow weary when you've done a job for a long period of time, can't you, Cass?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you there?
Yeah,
I was
here.
Just saying, the longer you're on a job, the more weary you can become, and the more less focused you can be when you've been doing your job for a long period of time.
Well, it depends on the job and the person, because I was on my job for 28 years, and I wasn't weary as far as being around the people and all of that, but it was the change of the company that made me a little discomforted. But other than that, I was happy at all times while I was there. So it depends on the situation and the job. And then my sister was on her job for 35 years in law enforcement. She, you know, she, I don't think she was weary, because she always had a moment where she was able to teach somebody. So when we're on these jobs, once you mature to a certain level, there's a teaching moment, because you have people that come in your path that you can teach. And I'm sure that it's the same on some of these police forces, that there are people that are there that are able to teach the younger people. But then again, there are those that go out and think that they know everything and that they're hothead, and that for whatever reason, they make the wrong decision. So,
but the question going into this environment,
you're right. It is difficult to understand, but they should know that. I guess my concern is that when you know that people's lives are in your hands, you have to take some extra precautions to make sure that you don't make no mistakes, because oops is not going to get it. I mean, you can't bring nobody back once you made those mistakes. All right, we're halfway through. Let's take another break and we'll come back.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
So people get ready for the train to join us, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors of boredom. There's hope for all among those loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Believe me now, have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no badge, you just get on. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. People get ready. People get ready.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Kathy, I'm going to put you on the spot because I know that there are a lot of people out there who need to have the confidence and the faith that you have in terms of how you go about your life. But can you tell us a little bit about your dreams of your future as you take on this new journey that has been placed on you?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
You know, you know what, James? As a person that was on a job for 28 years, and for them to come and say that we no longer need you, and that we're going to give you a little something, but we're going to send you on your way. I believe that this was God's time to say to me, rest, my daughter. So I am in a resting mode right now where I am rejuvenating myself. I am regaining myself. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, knowing who I am in the Lord. Now, I'm not trusting in anything that I can do, but I am trusting in God. I'm leaning on Him wholeheartedly. You know, it's like you close your eyes and you can't see anything. That's what I'm doing. I'm closing my eyes and I'm just resting on the Lord. And every day that I get up, I ask Him, what would you have me to do today? Where are we going? Who are we going to talk to? Because I know that if He doesn't guide me, then I can't go there. If He doesn't direct me and tell me what to do, then I can't do it. Now, it hasn't always been like this, because there were times that I got up and I began to do things in my own, you know, making my own decision, and those decisions were all bad decisions. I ran into stumbling blocks. I ran into doors and everything else. But during this process right here, I'm just trusting in God. And when I say that this has been the happiest time of my life, because it's not me, but it's Him. And so what I would say to anybody is just trust God. It doesn't matter if you don't have money, trust God. If you don't know where your money going to come from to pay the bill, trust God. If you're looking for a job, trust God. Whatever it is, God, that's what I would say.
All right. Audrey, I see you just came in with us. What are your thoughts on that kind of faith and what it is that you have to do as you're traveling in the journey and trying to see your way through what corporate American can decide and how quickly they can change their mind about your position within the company?
Well, hello to everyone on this tremendous Thursday. And before I go to that, James, let me just say to my dear sister Kathy, I'm so thankful that you spoke the words that you just spoke, because my answer, James, is the fact that jobs don't define who we are. We have to always be mindful of whose we are. And Kathy, it is without a doubt that you, this woman of God, this daughter of the King of Kings, will be led, directed, and guided according to His plan, His good will for you. He's the one that knows it. and it will be of good and not harm. That's according to the word, according to Jeremiah. And what all that you touch, according to his will prosper. And we know that prosperity is not limited to financial means. It's more in response to the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior. And what you have expressed is priceless, being able to have that relationship. And sure, you will have not only rest, but you'll have joy. And joy is something that the world didn't give us. And, of course, they would never be able to take it away. But I'm thankful for the Lord that you serve will meet your needs. So, James, we have to just get to a place where we do understand that corporations make business decisions day in and day out. It's not about necessarily looking out for individuals who have been loyal for years and years. And, of course, you don't have that anymore. Now, this generation don't stay a long time, but the business is always looking out for what's going to impact the business in a positive way. But it is good to know that, you know, no job or no man defines who we are, no title, no position. And that's why we have to truly walk by faith and not by sight in all that we encounter. So, my dear sister Kathy, just know that you love, you're blessed, and you are favored.
Amen.
Joyce, what are your thoughts about that?
My thought is, Kathy, very well said. I couldn't have said it any better. You did it so nicely, and you broke it down so nicely. I saw a show on TJ Jakes just, I think, yesterday, and the young lady was saying they had experiences where they'd been to heaven and back, and she said it exactly the way that you say. You got to trust. You got to put it out there and be on faith, because that's what it's all about. And it just hit home. And very well said, Audrey. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not nothing personally. It's not about you. A company's going to do what's best for the company. But you got to know who you are as that person, and it takes time for you to define yourself. I'm so glad that you did it quickly. I think everybody has been let go or laid off or whatever in a position. And when that time comes with you, it's all in how you accept it, you know. So very well said, Kathy. Very well done.
All right. Guys, we're going to take another break, and then we'll come back and have our final word.
Drumming my bass with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. He just
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, what is your final thought for today? Are you there, Joyce?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry about that. My final thought for today would be is, we're so busy going and we're so busy moving, but when we have the opportunity to sit back and really God want us to just to relax and just come up for air and breathe, do just that. You know, just do just that. He's going to supply all our needs. All we have to do is just trust him. Thank you.
All right. Kathy, your final thought for today?
Amen. I piggyback off of that, what you just said. It's a time for resting, and sometimes we do it on our own, and sometimes the Lord pushes us to do it. So just do it on your own and don't let the Lord push you to do it, because the circumstance could be totally different. And I am enjoying these days that God is giving me each day that I wake up. And then when I come on with you guys, to hear you guys, the joy in your voice, whether it's talking about a conversation or a situation, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. And if people understand how blessed they are, the confusion, the frustration, and everything else would leave.
Yeah, you're so right, Kathy. I know that I went back to work over a year and a half ago, and I intended to work 2 additional years, hoping to save money for my daughter. I was going to work those last 2 more years just for her so that I could give her some money. And I just thought to myself, I said, you know, there was a time where you didn't have anything. And now you have more than you've ever had, and you still are not trusting. And so I just said that if God took care of me in the beginning, he'll take care of me toward the end of the journey as well. And so I just trust that he'll always allow me to find a way to make provisions, not only for myself, but for my daughter and for anybody that I love that needs my help and assistance. And so that's where my heart is. And I know your heart and your faith is great, and that you'll be able to do whatever it is you want to do with his assistance. Andre, what are your final thoughts for today?
Well, just hearing the last few minutes of the show, I think that the key words that I heard was trust in the Lord. And the scriptures say, trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. So while we don't understand things as humans, we just pray that the Lord will help us to really, truly trust and just surrender to him. And we know that he has everything prepared that is for our good, that's the best for us. And even when we don't understand it and we're not quite sure, and even when we come into that humanness, which is, it happens, we are human. But thanks be to God that the spirit that's within us will rise up and be reminded that, you know, we are children of the King, and he will not allow us to be defeated. So we're so thankful that we have each other. We're just so thankful that we know the one who we can always turn to and know that he's there. So trust is the word for today. Tremendous
Amen.
Trusting Thursday. Amen.
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 Listen, guys, I want to let you know I continue
Amen.
To appreciate your support, and I will see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, as we seek to understand and share our opinions about what's going on in the world and the direction we want our country to go in. You all take care, and I'll see you tomorrow.
something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of tech services to help your business with everything from data recovery to virus protection. And right now, get $50 off PC diagnostic and repair service, so your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time. Ends 5/27. Service does not include parts.